Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, this week we're talking about three nutritional keys for COVID-19. But first, let's give our weekly COVID-19 update. Dr. Prather, where are we with the pandemic?
Well, there are 4.5 million confirmed cases in the United States, where they've been tested and, you know, registered. Mm-hmm. And then there's 153,000 deaths at this time. So, you know, people are sitting there going, oh, well, you know, this is like a, you know, very scary, and as you put that out, but it's important to understand that's 3% mm-hmm. of the people. And one of the things
that 3%
of the people who, if you're taking the confirmed cases.
Okay.
Now, understand, everyone's in pretty much an agreement that the number of people who've really had the infection mm-hmm. is 10 to 20 times greater. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 0.3% of the people who actually get it die. It's not the plague. It's a bad flu season is basically what's going on. So I always like to put that in perspective.
Yes.
Because as I kind of scroll through social media just to get an idea, the only reason I like to go on social media is for these radio programs.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise.
Yes. Otherwise just, you are not on. Yeah.
Yeah. It just irritates me. Mm-hmm. Because they make it sound like everybody's dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I see people who, you know, after I talk them down, but I see people who are really panicked. And this is not a panic situation.
There's so much fear, and there really isn't, you don't need to be so fearful.
It shouldn't be as much of a fearful type of thing. It should be something that, you know, we're aware of and work with.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rest of the world has a lot more important things. I've talked to people from Africa and India, and they're not really worried about the COVID-19. They've got other diseases that are much more prevalent.
Malaria.
Malaria, tuberculosis. They say, we got real diseases.
Uh-huh.
Now, so,
in fact, yeah. Our friend went back to Africa because he said it's too crazy here in the United States.
Right. And it's something not to take lightly.
Right.
Especially if you have certain type of comorbidity types of things that could occur. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do have people that I say need to be cautious. We need to be aware that this is a problem. It was scary when I thought it was first coming out because they were talking about a 4% mm-hmm. over in China, which does scare me. 0.3% does not.
And you're talking about death, right?
Deaths,
yeah,
right.
Deaths.
Uh-huh. And it is a serious problem, but there are a lot of things, which we're going to talk about,
yeah.
that you can really do to make sure that you don't have, you know, the serious complications that could be involved with this.
So what's happening, you know, we have other pandemics going on right now.
Right.
Suicide and drug overdoses in the United States are higher than they've ever been.
Right.
So well, let's talk about that.
The CDC director, Robert Redfield, came out and testified on the Beck Institute webinar. Mm-hmm. And he said that the suicide rate and the drug overdose rate has a much higher death rate mm-hmm. than the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. That the suicide rate, he feels, is causing more deaths than COVID-19. And then the drug, so both those pandemics are claiming more lives.
Mm-hmm. And our focus is then on taken off of that, it seems.
Right, than the actual COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So it's something that they're getting quite a bit of different confirmations along those lines. We aren't going to really know for sure what the numbers are until about 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's when we gather up statistics. But the secondary fallout from the COVID-19, a lot of the shutdowns of the
business.
The economy,
mm-hmm.
The stressors that people are going through, all of those things are taking, and this is actually in agreement with the CDC. He says the secondary fallout from the COVID-19 is greater than the COVID-19, and we always need to ask ourselves, is the cure worse than the disease?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we need to talk about. One of the things is that we have talked about that this particular virus has mutated and is much more contagious. So we're seeing an increase in the amount of people. It's extremely easy to transmit. Mm-hmm. And then we also found out that it's not as deadly as the original. So, you know, one of the things that we're... That's
good news.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the media is portraying that as bad news, mm-hmm. because it's spreading much more quickly. And one of the things that's been predicted is that then the death rate will come up. And they've been asking Fauci why, you know, the death rate. And he says, well, it's going to come. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... Well, maybe not.
Right.
And it really hasn't manifested. Mm-hmm. The death rate has the percentage of people who are actually dying from it, I think, is actually decreasing. So the mutations are actually working in our favor. The big thing is that we're not addressing is the how to really fight this properly. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is that that we aren't looking at some of the things that that the rest of the world is. And, you know, I've heard from several different people on social media and different types of places and the news media. We just need to trust our medical experts. Mm-hmm. Well, in the United States, our medical, our medicine, mm-hmm. our healthcare is the most expensive in the entire world, and we have the worst outcomes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in other words, you've got an NFL team that has never won a game in the last 10 years, and you say, just trust the coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
Are they the Detroit Lions?
So, you know, one of the things, you know, is just kind of looking elsewhere and who's successful and who's not.
Well, let's talk about that. What is happening in other countries around the world?
Well, you know, one of the shining examples is Taiwan. Now, when the whole thing came out with China, mm-hmm. Taiwan put out a warning, said, don't trust the information from the Chinese. We think they're lying. And they were shut down by everybody. World Health Organization said, oh, you know.
What does Taiwan know?
Right? What does Taiwan know? They're not even part of the World Health Organization because we won't let them. but Taiwan has probably the best outcomes per cost of any country in the entire world on their healthcare system. Mm-hmm. So there's a tremendous amount that we could learn from them. And they immediately shut down the country and wouldn't allow anyone from China to come in. Mm-hmm. They took steps immediately. They had a whole system that was in place that was easily transferred into a into fighting the pandemic. And they only, in a population of 24 million people, they've only had 446 confirmed cases and seven deaths. In the entire country.
Wow. So what are they doing?
Well, one of the things is they started testing right away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had a very good testing system, and, you know, we don't. Mm-hmm. They followed up on things very well, and then their treatments are different. They went to a much more natural type of treatment. They went to steroid nebulizers for early treatment for mm-hmm. anyone, and they had a very good success rate. Zinc was a very important part of their treatment, and vitamin D.
Yeah, which we talk about all the time.
Correct.
Zinc and vitamin D.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
they have more of a natural treatment. They've had only seven deaths of 24 million people.
Correct.
And I know those people are on top of each other.
Yes, they are. And, well, I mean, talking about that, India in the Dharavi, it's the biggest slum in the entire world. If you ever saw Slumdog Millionaire,
yeah.
That's where that was filmed. And they are using hydroxychloroquine for their main treatment. And what they do is they go after it early. They do zinc, vitamin D, and homeopathy for their treatments on that. And they have gone through it with only about 100 deaths.
Wow.
And they are on top of one another with terrible, terrible conditions. But they went after it in a much different way. When they did the studies here in the United States on the hydroxychloroquine, they only used it in extreme cases when the person was near death, mm-hmm. which you're actually supposed to use it in early and preventative type of a way. And then they also didn't include the zinc, and they say the hydroxychloroquine doesn't work unless you include the zinc into the treatment too.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we're talking about studies, you have to understand in the United States, as they're doing it, they're gearing those studies to make sure that they fail.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't necessarily trust our science.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to convince me of that. Well, and you know, is there something we can learn from third world countries?
It sounds like it. Let's look and see who was successful. We have followed the Chinese model, and quite frankly, the Chinese model failed.
Mm-hmm. And really, we don't need to be afraid and scared.
No.
Like the media portrays.
No.
Up next, the three nutritional keys for COVID-19.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
What professionals out there use the rapid release technology?
It was invented by a chiropractor, and chiropractors actually are really quite innovative and have come up with quite a few devices. So chiropractors obviously were the first ones to start using it. Physical therapists, occupational therapists, massage therapists are also using it. Athletic trainers,
NFL, NBA.
NBA, NHL, PGA. So it's very important for sports. A lot of Olympic athletes are using that to maintain the function of their body. So for sports, for recovery, even after surgeries, headache clinics are using it.
I've even taken the softer head over someone's cranium and that back occiput area.
Sure.
And you know, we have sutures in our skull and work the sutures with it. The headache people just love that.
You just see people kind of drifting off.
Uh-huh.
So during the treatment, if you're not careful, I mean, people are just going to fall asleep on you.
That's all right. TMJ, using that small head.
Yeah, and temporomandibular joint syndrome can be very, very devastating to people. Getting that under control can really help out. One of the things that's very interesting is that we used it for people with depression even. One of the things that occurs with depression, pain can kind of kick that off. And then also the levator scapula. As you release that, then all of a sudden people can start breathing.
Those are up in the neck area, that upper back.
We call those the tension muscle mm-hmm. headaches. Getting that release can actually change people's anxiety levels and decrease their depression levels.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health radio listeners.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, this week we're talking about three nutritional keys for COVID-19.
One of the things that's really interesting on this is the people who have the most severe reactions, sort of like what is the early warning sign that you're going to have an issue mm-hmm. with the COVID-19 and have serious complications. The big issue is that you lose the sense of taste and smell, which is a fascinating type of thing. Mm-hmm. So if you all of a sudden lose the sense of taste and smell, that's one of the signs that you can actually have a really, really strong reaction to the COVID-19, where people are having the real serious problems.
Is that coming before?
Or? It's actually coming before.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the, you start to get sick, and also one of the things is that you have lost that. Those two things.
Those senses. Smell and?
Taste,
okay.
Almost every 99% of the people who have loss of taste and smell is because of low zinc. So, you know, that's just a flag along those lines. And one of the things that is very well known is that zinc's an important part of the immune response. Mm-hmm. So as we're talking about that, you know, as I've brought this up to people, because I have people coming in, you know, are at risk. What do I do? What do I do? We test them out on a lot of different types of things, and we test them out on zinc. You know, they're low, and I talk to them about how important it is for the COVID-19 response. But with zinc, you really need to test it out to know with whether somebody should take it or not, because you can also cause problems.
Okay.
So zinc is probably I'd probably say zinc is even more important than the A, the D, and the monolaurin, if that is needed for you. If it isn't needed, then it actually can be more of a problem. So the zinc is absolutely critical, and it's showing up in this whole COVID-19 response that the loss of taste and smell, which mm-hmm. means that you have really crashed your zinc levels, because that's the only way that occurs, has the greatest morbidity, and the most severe of the symptoms start to occur. Mm-hmm. So zinc is extremely, extremely important in the fight for the COVID-19 and keeping it under control. But one of the most important ones, and if you have to actually be really, really low, is the loss of taste and smell.
It has to be really low.
It has to be really low. And one of the things, if you get the COVID-19, you use a lot of zinc.
Well, I'm sure listeners are asking right now, how do you test for zinc?
Yes. And what we do is we do lab tests. The best way that we have to do it, and it's a very specific lab that does hair analysis. You can do a few other different types of things to make sure. The hair analysis we found extremely accurate and very reliable for the zinc, and then also to see exactly what's happening with the other minerals, because you can't just take, you have to balance everything.
So what effects does zinc have on the immune system?
One of the things is it's very, very important, especially for viral fighting capability. Mm-hmm. So it works on the T cells extremely high, and then also on the B cells. So it has a very universal effect on the entire immune system. You can't have a proper functioning immune system if you're not getting enough zinc. There's just no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting is that zinc is very well known to interfere with coronavirus reproduction. Mm-hmm. So it has a specific ability, especially against the coronavirus. So one of the things that is sort of a theory is that when you get the COVID-19 mm-hmm. and your body starts to kick in, that your zinc can, because it's being used up, can really drop extremely low, and that's the reason that the taste and smell goes away as you're first fighting. Usually you get that even before most other symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's an important type of thing. And so your body's using up the zinc to really fight that, and then that's showing up then with those symptoms. There's been studies where they've shown that there's several different types of viruses, but zinc has a very, very strong effect on specifically the coronavirus, mm-hmm. because what they found that it interferes with its reproduction. So if you can get the zinc into the body, and then specifically get it into the cells, then that's one of the mechanisms that the body has as a defense to really cut down on its ability to reproduce itself. Mm-hmm. It's working from several different aspects. One, you're building up the immunity of the system. So the T cells and B cells are both, which are part of the immune system, are really, really high with that. Mm-hmm. It also cuts down on the inflammatory process. So, you know, one of the big factors that happens is with this problem is that COVID-19 is attacking the lining of the arteries. And if you have high levels of zinc, that seems to really interfere with its ability to do that. Mm. So you're cutting down on the blood clots, you're cutting down on its ability to reproduce inside the cell, and then you're also strengthening the immune system. So it's working really and controlling it in a three-pronged type of thing. And with this particular virus, of all the different types of things that are out there, Zinc seems to be the major nutritional factor that helps to keep that under control.
Are we hearing about that out in the
There is research that's being done on it, but it's not being like touted. One of the things is that they've asked some of the doctors, you know, should everybody just be taking zinc? And they go, oh, no, no, no. And one of the things we'll talk about is that there are complications with that. Mm-hmm. So that everybody shouldn't be just running out and taking zinc. Zinc needs to be, you need to test it first to see if you need it and then keep it under a certain control. So it should be done by a physician.
Well, that's my next question. Should everyone be taking zinc right now?
Well, it's everybody should be getting their nutritional levels on that. Mm-hmm. But 60%, according to the study, 60% of people are deficient in zinc.
Mm. That's a lot of people. I know I see it going out of our office quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. And I've always done
it. And I've been on it at times.
Oh, yeah. And you're one of the people who are at risk for getting low zinc.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have a tendency.
Because of high copper.
Because of high copper.
And we're going to talk about that.
There's ratios on that. And zinc is complicated, so having somebody who helps you monitor it. But zinc should probably, in other words, I'm not just recommending people to grab zinc.
Right. So can zinc cause toxicity in the body?
It can. One of the things that the health experts said, oh no, you know, you can actually get toxic levels. Mm-hmm. So it is rare, and you have to be taking quite a bit of it to get into a toxicity. But if you get too much, it will actually suppress the immune system.
Yeah, so it's all about a balance, what we've talked about.
Yeah, it's all about balance. Also, zinc has antagonistic certain minerals and vitamins, so in other words, it gets complicated.
Mm-hmm. What you talked about that zinc can be antagonistic to other minerals or vitamins.
Sure.
What
specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's actually quite a bit of complication on there. Zinc can actually suppress copper. And copper, if it is depressed, can actually affect the immune system also. You have to balance out, especially that one of the most important balances you're looking for is zinc-copper ratio. Because it affects the hormones, it affects the immune system. And if you can achieve that balance, then you have the optimal effect. You don't want to be too low or too high on either one of those. It's homeostasis, which is balance, which we keep talking about.
Yes.
You know, in a structure function care, that's really what's important. Also, zinc suppresses iron, which is also important for the immune system. You have to make sure that you have your manganese up, otherwise it can cause mental and emotional disturbances. It also interferes with B vitamin absorption. So, you know, as you're looking at that, yes, there can be problems that are associated with that. And making sure that you have someone who's following all those things, making sure that the balance is actually correct, is critically important.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know if you should be taking zinc or not?
Lab tests.
And only we talked about that, the hair analysis.
Yeah, hair analysis. We can also do red blood cell analysis. So we can kind of look at that and make sure that we have a balance. But the basic one that we do that really tells us whether to work with it, you know, we might have to do further testing to understand it exactly on the ratios. But hair analysis is the basis of that.
So how accurate are the lab tests for zinc?
Extremely accurate.
I know the hair analysis, we use one of the top labs in the world for that.
Because it has to be done in a very specific type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just randomly be doing hair analysis. You have to do it accurately, because if you do it wrong, you're not going to get the right numbers.
Now, unfortunately, insurance does not cover it. Our fee for that is $150. Well worth it.
Well worth it, especially with everything.
I do hair analysis 2 times a year, just for preventative, minimally 2 times a year.
And the big thing we're looking at is your copper zinc ratio. Mm-hmm. Most important thing for you.
Right. Up next, the 3 nutritional keys for COVID-19.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I'm a big fan of homeostasis. Do you know what that is?
Of course not.
Yeah. Homeostasis refers to a system's ability to regulate its internal environment and maintain a constant condition of properties like temperature or pH.
Worst bedtime story ever.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
The major thing that they found on the response to the COVID-19 is your kidneys. The kidney function is extremely important. The gold standard for looking at kidneys is something called the glomerular filtration rate. GFR is the short for that. A normal functioning kidney is above 120 GFR. That's where it's functioning quite well. Then 120 to 90 is stage 1, chronic kidney disease. Stage 2 is 90 to 60. Stage 3 is 60 to 30. 30 to 15 is stage 4. 15 and under is kidney failure. Closer you are to that, they found the greater chance you have of having problems with the COVID-19. Looking at all that in the blood test, and I can pretty well tell when they get the COVID-19 how they're going to do.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Stool Kit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Stool Kit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a backache loving you. No pills gonna kill my head.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, this week we're talking about three nutritional keys for COVID-19.
Really, when you're talking about the COVID-19, the things that are pretty well established that you can do to help with all that, making sure your vitamin D levels are adequate. Now, I would recommend getting a blood test because you can't get too much vitamin D, but not enough is one of the main factors that can lead to worse infections. That is probably the reason that older people are more susceptible, is because they're all low on vitamin A and vitamin D. So making sure that those levels are at adequate amount.
Why is vitamin D essential to our bodies, Dr. Prather?
Well, it regulates the minerals of our body, especially calcium and phosphorus, which are important for our function. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the body likes the blood plasma levels of the calcium right at 10.0. Doesn't do well if it goes high, and it doesn't do well if it goes low. And vitamin D, along with the parathyroid, has a tremendous amount of regulation along those lines. And so it's essential that we get all of the vitamin D we need. And then vitamin D will regulate the calcium, the phosphorus, and all the other minerals, but it also has a big effect on our hormones. So you can't truly have a well-balanced hormonal system, and you can't have the hormones that you need if you're deficient on your vitamin D. It also is important for kidney function, your bowels. Your immune system is very dependent on the vitamin D. How you sleep, the nervous system also has a tremendous amount to do with it. And then also your mood has a huge effect by vitamin D.
That's an important one.
Doesn't sound like too much, does it? So basically, almost everything has a tremendous amount to do with your vitamin D levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, how were we meant to get our vitamin D?
Well, how we're meant to get our vitamin D is through sunshine. Mm. And there is a mechanism that we can make our vitamin D. And so what happens is cholesterol goes up to the surface of the skin. and then through a very complicated process, which I won't go through, it is started in the skin, goes to the kidneys and liver, and then circulates through the body and is eventually made into the active form of vitamin D. It can also be got from other food sources, but it all has to be from animal sources. You can't really get it from a vegetarian diet. So if you're getting it from there. But sunshine is really where we were made to get our vitamin D from. And it's the perfect vitamin D for our system if we can get it through the sunshine.
So that's why we like going south in the winter, right?
Well, you know, there
are... Good luck with that in Indiana.
There is a very definite pattern on your levels of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. So, you know, during the summer, your levels of vitamin D go up, kind of reach its maximum, you know, towards the end of fall. And then it starts to decline. And then about the time that the sun starts coming out again, we're really, really low on vitamin D. Oftentimes people can, you know, if it's kind of a prolonged spring, people get really antsy, you know, where you're not getting that good weather that you're mm-hmm. supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
People start getting a little irritated. That mood, infections start to increase. So that's a big thing. And, you know, one of the things is flu season.
Mm-hmm.
is during the fall and winter. And they say that there's a very strong correlation between the reason for that is because we don't have the strong sunshine. So that cuts down on our immune system. That's why flu season is during the time it is.
And you said the vitamin D deficiency decreases the immune system? Also?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Very, very dependent upon the vitamin D levels in our body.
So what effect did vitamin D have on skin color?
We talk about vitamin D levels, and if you are near the equator, your skin gets darker because you're trying to regulate the amount of vitamin D that you get. So skin color is completely dependent and is designed to absorb vitamin D. So that's why people in the colder areas up north or farther away from the sunshine develop light skin, so that they can absorb the vitamin D. Then it starts getting darker as you go down to the Italians. It's a little bit darker because you don't need quite as much vitamin D. Yeah, there you go. My people up in the British Isles are really, really white because they don't get a whole lot of vitamin D. So they kind of maximize their vitamin D ability to absorb. If you are dark-skinned, and you don't have a whole lot of exposure to the sun, your chances of having vitamin D deficiency are much, much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, vitamin D has a tremendous amount to do with the skin and the skin color. And we find that a lot of our patients who have darker skin, their vitamin D levels really need to be checked on a regular basis. And has a great deal to do with a lot of the problems that are associated with people of darker skin. If you are black, you have a 4 times greater chance of dying from COVID-19 than a white person in the same age group. Almost all the people who were younger who died from the COVID-19 were black. We've talked about how important vitamin D is to the COVID-19 for your overall health and well-being. As I'm talking to people and am doing blood tests on vitamin D, always the darker your skin is, the lower the vitamin D levels are. And I really feel that the race factor in this, the main portion of that, is the vitamin D levels. But again, it shows up, we don't think about vitamin D a whole lot, but it was a major, major issue and had a big health impact, you know, huge health impact. And getting that into the milk is one of the things that really helped out with vitamin D. What the federal government did, and even over in Europe, is they decided to fortify the milk with vitamin D. So that was a big thing to make sure that everybody got their vitamin D as they should. And that made a huge difference. And interestingly enough, they're not even quite sure why, but if you put in vitamin D in milk, it becomes 10 times better absorbed into your system.
Oh, interesting.
So it doesn't take as much vitamin D to get into your system because of the milk. And then, of course, milk also has the calcium, magnesium, phosphorus already in it. So it makes it a very easy way to get vitamin D into the system. Now, one of the things that people need to be aware of is they really need to watch their kids, because a lot of kids now have been shown to be dairy sensitive and aren't taking that. Mm-hmm. So how do they get their vitamin D? And getting that checked, you know, is a very important factor in keeping the health of your child up. Well, actually, everybody's health is extremely important to measure their vitamin D level on a regular basis.
Well, we do that through our Prather profile. Vitamin D is part of that.
That's just a standard type of thing that we feel that everybody should have checked anytime they have a lab test, just to see where it is, because of the importance.
So is vitamin D deficiency common now?
Vitamin D deficiency is very common. One of the things that there was you know how there are different fads that go through. I mean, right now it's CBD oil. Everybody's doing CBD oil. But they also were, the vitamin D was, there was some research that came out and every doctor was putting out vitamin D, you know, without even really checking on it, which isn't good.
You mean checking in their blood work?
Checking on their blood work to see the lab tests. So everybody was getting vitamin D because they were talking about how excellent it was. So everybody had this big vitamin D craze. And it is absolutely true that almost, you know, when we do the vitamin D testing, it's the majority of people who actually show up low on vitamin D. You know, it's unusual to find someone who is normal, and we go through, and your vitamin D's low.
Yeah.
So we need to bring that up. And there are different levels that we get on people. Some of them are very shocking levels, and it's amazing how much of a health change that occurs as soon as we get their vitamin D level up. I was just testing one gentleman. He had a vitamin D level of 8, which is actually no vitamin D, which is one of the big things that is a factor for your ability to, if you get the COVID-19, not to wind up on a respirator. Really, there should be a lot more promotion on individual health. 80% of the people don't even know they had the COVID-19. It's the people who are weakened. And oftentimes, he had no idea. He said, you know, I'm healthy. I said, ooh, you know, if you got the COVID-19, you would be in real trouble. I said, we're going to get that up quickly. He was very grateful. So we've had a lot of people who didn't know that they had a problem. And if you don't know you don't have a problem, not taking care of your own health, then you're actually susceptible to being one of the statistics for the COVID-19 instead of one of the victors.
Interesting. Now you said by, you know, putting someone on vitamin D without checking it can be harmful.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, vitamin D can be toxic. You know, this is something that you can get a toxicity on.
It's a fat soluble.
It's a fat soluble, so it can sit in the system and cause quite a bit of problems. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be low on vitamin D, and you don't want to be too high on vitamin D.
It's that homeostasis we talk about.
Homeostasis, balance in the system, very important.
So is vitamin D supplementation something that should be encouraged?
Vitamin D supplementation should be responsibly encouraged.
And you mean that by checking through blood work.
Yeah. We had a patient who was very much into health, as I think about, you know, that came into our office and was having some very serious issues. And we sit there and did their blood tests, and their vitamin D level was at a super toxic level. And we asked them how long they had been taking vitamin D. In 3 years, they've been accumulating it. It eventually resulted in a disease process. It had been recommended before, and they had read all the studies on how important vitamin D was. And so they were going to be a healthy individual and go down and get their vitamin D supplementation on a regular basis.
Without having it checked.
Without having any lab tests done. And you cannot do that. And so we were able to detox them on the vitamin D. Luckily, that had not become a crisis situation where it could have been life-threatening. But we do take that seriously, and we don't encourage people to take vitamin D without having a blood test to monitor how it's doing.
So can vitamin D be reduced by drugs?
Yes. Drugs can be a very important thing. Matter of fact, if you're on any pharmaceuticals, you should have a physician check too, because you can have interactions between vitamin D and many drugs if you're taking that. So being aware of your pharmaceuticals and having that checked along with the vitamin D is important. But if you are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, remember, cholesterol goes up to the skin, hits the UV light, and starts the whole vitamin D process. So if you are low on cholesterol,
get to the skin.
Yeah. If you do a study on people who are taking cholesterol lowering drugs, much lower than the rest of their peers for their vitamin D levels. So if you are taking cholesterol lowering drugs, checking on your vitamin D level is one of the most important things that you could possibly do, because it can really cause a very big problem along those lines. Cell walls are made up of cholesterol. And if you are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're much more susceptible to viruses. And that is one of the things that you have to be aware of that probably would make you more susceptible to the coronavirus. So the viruses have to be able to penetrate the cell wall. So one of the other things that's excellent is monolaurin. And monolaurin builds up the cell wall and makes it stronger. So trying to get that built up is a great way of doing that.
What's this last one you said that builds up the cell wall?
Monolaurin.
Okay.
Monolaurin is very well known.
That'd be really helpful for people that are on cholesterol-lowering.
Especially on people on cholesterol-lowering medication. It's very, very helpful. And quite interestingly enough, being low on vitamin D and we raise the vitamin D level up, all of a sudden their cholesterol level goes back to normal.
Interesting.
So one of the reasons that people have, what the body does if it's not getting the vitamin D level it should from the sunshine because of your own not getting into the sunshine, the body makes more cholesterol to try to have as much of it available if you do happen to get into the sun as possible. So being low on vitamin D causes high cholesterol. And if you can get your vitamin D levels up, it is a natural way to lower, one of the natural ways to lower your cholesterol levels.
Yeah, and we're not saying go out to your nearest vitamin store and buy some vitamin D and start taking it.
No.
You have to have the labs to check
it. You have to have someone who's knowledgeable in working with that type of situation and looks at all the ramifications that are involved in that. Mm-hmm. Sorry to make it complicated. But it is.
Well, it really isn't complicated. You get the blood work, you know where you need to be. We do the supplementation. How many different vitamin D supplements do we have?
We found one that really works well, but we have many different ways to deliver it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do just give desiccated liver. Sometimes we give fish oils to get the vitamin D level. It depends on what level it is and how the person responds. But we do have a very excellent source of vitamin D. And for those who are really, really low, we have pharmaceutical vitamin D. We have a lot of people who we have to write scripts because they're so low on their vitamin D.
Up next, the three nutritional keys for COVID-19.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What is the difference between disease care and structure function care with reading blood work? And if we have a listener that's a new listener with our show, the Prather Practice, we practice structure function care.
Yeah, the FDA divides all care into two different categories. One, disease care model, which is based on pharmaceuticals and symptomatology, and then the structure function care, in which you're dealing with homeostasis. You're achieving homeostasis in the body. And homeostasis is health. Homeostasis is balance. And that homeostasis, if the body's able to achieve balance in homeostasis, then that is the definition of health. So really, we're health doctors. We improve the health of the individuals. We don't treat disease. And when you're interpreting blood work, those are two different ways of looking at it, which is a new paradigm for those who are in the disease care. They don't oftentimes understand. It takes a while to change their whole paradigm mm-hmm. on the interpretation. Basically, what they're looking for in the blood work is when you qualify for getting a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is to look for what we need to do to achieve a perfect health. And so two different types of models, two different types of ways of looking at it, and getting that model into people's brains is a new paradigm. And it's a new paradigm within the healthcare system. So that's where we approach our model from. I mean, that's one of the reasons I have the radio program. So we're trying to educate and get the word out there, because this is a new paradigm that is hard for people to understand.
Mm-hmm. Very important. And you talk about how we need both the structure function care and the disease care model.
Correct. A perfect balance on that is 80% of the healthcare should be structure function based, 20% should be disease care model. Because
mm-hmm.
we do refer out for pharmaceuticals, we refer out for surgeries. There are times where the body act requires those. We're not against those things at all. It's just that we need a balance, and we need the two groups to work together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is that there's been a very much of a antagonism between the two groups, and which there surely shouldn't be. When we find the best results in the healthcare system is when the two groups are actually working together for the good and the benefit of the patient.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, this week we're talking about three nutritional keys for COVID-19. So what vitamins would be important to take to boost the immune system? I know we talk about vitamin A.
Vitamin A is absolutely the most important.
That needs to be monitored.
Yeah, the beta carotene is a nice, easy way to do that.
Yeah.
But the vitamin A is for those people who we are talking to on the phone that have really serious infections. I tell them how to take the vitamin A to try to get that under control.
I'm always thinking carrots and your
right
yellow.
Well, that's another way vegetables. To really get that. Liver actually is the highest concentration of vitamin A. So eating liver, and when I tell people that, they kind of like make a face like you just did.
Well, no, I love my mom.
That's right, you loved it.
My mom made
the
best liver. Soaked it in milk.
But you were thinking about a lot of people go, ooh.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
And so we actually have pills. So that's another way to do that. Vitamin A is considered probably the most important thing for upper respiratory infections. Now, we do have vitamin A in our office, but that's only sort of like by prescription only, because mm-hmm. you can become too toxic on vitamin A. But beta carotene is very safe. You can take as much as you want to without really any problems, because it's a precursor to the vitamin A. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get toxic with it. And it'll keep the supply of your vitamin A in your body high. So it's a really great way to boost the immune system. And the World Health Organization, as they're treating people with upper respiratory infections, the first line of defense on that is vitamin A. And they find a very strong, like a very one-to-one correlation between the levels of vitamin A of the patients mm-hmm. and how well they're able to fight the upper respiratory infections. So keeping your vitamin A level up is probably one of the more critical things, and very, very, probably the most important thing for your basic defense. Like we were talking about a fighter.
Yeah.
That's keeping your arms up so you don't get hit.
You know, as you were talking, I remember... And I haven't had the television on much during this time. It just gets overwhelming. But there was an expert, so-called expert, on there saying vitamins don't help at all. You know,
right.
That. And it just drove me crazy. How can that be true when the World Health Organization is saying
right.
vitamin A?
Well, the Center of Disease Control isn't as big on the vitamins and those types of things as the World Health Organization. Mm-hmm. But the United States is very disease-oriented, not structure-function-oriented.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of the world has a much more of a balance along those lines. You know, when you're going to France, 40% of all prescriptions are homeopathic. India, 30% of all prescriptions are homeopathic-based. So, you know, herbals and all those different types of things are used quite a bit in the rest of the world, not as acceptable in the United States, but, you know, the drug companies are very, very powerful in the United States. Disease care is really the model that's only promoted. Mm-hmm. And really, a big problem I feel with the United States, we've talked about it before, we spend the most amount of money. We have the very best disease care in the world. And just to make it clear, I'm not against disease care. I think it's extremely necessary. I would never want to lose it. And there are many times where we're recommending people to go out. But we feel that there should be an 80-20 split. Mm-hmm. 80% of all care should be structure-function based. And structure-function is where you are trying to achieve homeostasis or balance in the body. You're trying to improve the strength of the body and how well the body's working. Mm-hmm. And then you have 20%, which should be disease care. Now that's where you get into the vaccination, the drugs, the surgery, those types of things, which are direct interventions. Mm-hmm. Now, it's very true, and the FDA has made it very clear that you can't make disease claims with structure function care, mm-hmm. which is really technically very true. I couldn't agree more, because what you're doing with structure function care is you're trying to improve the health of the individual. And then the individual's mechanisms to deal with the disease is kicking in.
Right.
Whereas with disease care, you're treating directly the disease. So nothing that we're talking about here is going to treat the COVID-19. The vitamin A doesn't treat it. What it does is it strengthens and works on the body itself. Mm-hmm. But it is not a treatment for the COVID-19.
Yeah.
It's basically working on you, not on the virus.
So let's talk about that. Can natural products boost the immune system?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely anyone who says otherwise what should I say? That's just crazy.
Uh-huh. I turned the TV on.
Everybody knows that.
Uh-huh.
Now, it does not treat it.
Mm-hmm.
But is it absolutely critical? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what is structure function? You know, you've talked about the structure function care and the difference between the disease care model.
Right.
So let's talk about, at the Prather practice, do you treat infections?
No. Mm-hmm. We do give antibiotics on occasion. We try to keep that down.
Yeah.
Now, if we really are finding that someone's needing disease care, we refer out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the proper individuals who work with that. We do refer, we have referrals to infectious disease specialists when we find something really serious. But one of the things is that we've over-prescribed antibiotics and antivirals, antifungals, and we've lost the ability to actually treat them as they should. The Center of Disease Control and the World Health Organization have announced that we are in a post-antibiotic age because we overuse the pharmaceuticals. Again, if we were doing this properly, we could keep the pharmaceuticals that we need for those really emergency types of situations.
And not overuse. So
we're talking about proper use of pharmaceuticals, and we have just really, really blown it with that.
All right. Well, thank you as always, Dr. Prather.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.